Alleluia, Christ is risen. In 2 weeks, it will be the 2-year anniversary of Annalisa and my wedding, which I'm very excited about. Thank you, thank you. And I have a picture from that wedding that I want to share with you. That's me dancing with my mom. Her name's Patricia, and I love this picture because it shows my mom in her perfect element. My mom has an incredible gift to bring people together in celebrations of joy. And my whole life, she's been trying to teach me how to do it. And as a child, you know, she'd make sure I go around and check on everyone, had something to eat, something to drink. And she'd always make sure ahead of time that I dressed well and I put on stylish looking shoes. My mom in this picture looks elegant, which you would expect at a wedding, but this is basically how she always looks. And so what could be more perfect for her than a place where she gets to gather all these people together and celebrate in a stylish fashion? But what you don't see in this photo is that 2 weeks or 2 days earlier, when all my friends were gathering from all over the country, I wanted to show off to my friends what I love about Chico. And we can take that photo down for now. Thank you. And one of the things I love about Chico is hiking around here. And so I planned a hike for my friends. And this hike is going to start at the top of Peregrine Golf Course, at the very top of the canyon. And it's going to descend the whole canyon all the way down to 5 Mile. My friends were going to love it. And I let them know, and they signed up and were excited. And my mom heard this was happening. And my mom said, "Ben, I want to come too." And I said, "Okay, let's talk about that. Mom, you know, you're not really an outdoorsy person. Is this really what you want to do?" She said, "Oh, yeah, totally." And I said, "Well, you know, it's about a 5-mile hike." She says, "Oh, you know, I've done the Run for Food with you. That's close to 5 miles. I was like, "Well, you know, 3. But also, Mom, this has like 1,000 feet elevation change. Admittedly, mostly downhill, but that's also like a problem, right? Because we go down pretty steep." And she said, "Oh, no, it'll be fine." I said, "Mom, didn't you recently have surgery on both your feet?" She said, "I want to come." In today's gospel lesson, Jesus says, "If you do as I command you, you will abide in my love." And I have to say, when I first heard that, what I heard is what I have assumed throughout my life, that if I want people to like me, if I want people to love me, I have to do what they want me to do, whether that's having favors done for them or whether that's them suggesting activities that I don't really want to do, but I want them to like me, so I'm going to do it anyway. I'll watch the movie that they want to see. I'll go to the restaurant that they want to eat at. And it sounds to me initially like maybe that's what Jesus is saying, that if we want to hang out in his love, we have to do what he tells us to do. And I was worried that's what my mom was thinking, right? My mom says, "Oh, Ben wants to go hiking. Well, if Ben is going to love me, then I have to do what he wants to do." And so I explained to her, "Mom, I love you. We're going to have a lot of great times this weekend during the wedding for me to spend one-on-one time with you. You don't need to do this." She said, "I want to come anyway." "Okay, sure." So we, you know, get to the top of the canyon, and it's beautiful views out there. And then we walk along the canyon, and it's pretty flat, nothing terrible. But then we start to descend the canyon. And I don't know if you've walked this trail, but it's not like a gentle descent. It's like there's cracks and fissures in the side of the canyon, and you kind of work your way down, hopping from rock to rock. And my mom is having a little trouble at this point. She's worried about stumbling and sliding, and, you know, she's bracing herself. And she looks at me, and she says, "Ben, we're having fun, right? This is fun?" And when I tell this story to people, I notice a trend. A lot of colleagues will say, "Ben, well, of course, at that point, you changed the hike, right? Or you turned around or something, right? Clearly, your mom was not cut out for this." And on our first reading today, right before the part that we heard my wife Annalisa read, you need to know what happens. What happens is that Peter is hanging out at a house and some Gentiles show up. Now, Gentiles are people who aren't Jews, right? They haven't been circumcised. They haven't entered into a covenant relationship with God. And they show up at Peter's at this house where Peter's staying, and they say, hey, our master Cornelius wants to meet you. He thinks God is bringing the two of you together for a reason. And Peter goes with them, but when he gets to Cornelius, he says, you know that Jews have nothing in common with Gentiles. Right? He tells Cornelius straight up, we have for centuries been taught that we as Jewish people aren't to associate with you because you're not up to God's calling. The Holy Spirit isn't working through you. You're not cut out for the journey that Jesus has called us on. That's how Peter starts off his conversation with Cornelius. And when I hear my colleagues say, well, you turned around, didn't you? There is in those words an assumption that, yes, my mom isn't cut out for this, so the merciful thing to do would just be to cut her out of the activity altogether or maybe just change the activity. But I noticed when I talked to my friends and to the dozen or so friends who went on this hike, not a single one of them suggested that we turn back. Not a single one of them suggested my mom couldn't do it. And I wonder if it's because of what Jesus says. Jesus says, you are my friends if you do what I command you. And once again, this can sound like, well, you're only my friend if you do what I want you to do. But then he goes on to explain. He says, I don't call you servants any longer because the servant doesn't understand what the master is doing. He says, but I call you friends because I have shared with you everything that my Father has shared with me. You see, Jesus is saying, I'm explaining to you why I do everything that I do. And I want you to do it because you understand. And my friends, right, they go on hikes with me not because they think, well, if I don't go on a hike with Ben, Ben won't be my friend. No, they go on hikes with me because they know what I know about hikes. That on these hikes we find places of beauty. That on these hikes there are challenges that push us to find new reserves of strength. They know that on these hikes we have moments of vulnerability where we have to learn to rely on one another and open up to one another. And so my friends love going on hikes with me, because we share this love, we share this same mind. And when we were going on this hike with my mom, my friends noticed my mom slipping and sliding. They didn't say you should send her back, Ben. Instead, they reached out their hands. They helped brace her going down a slippery part. And when there were parts when my mom just said, I just can't go past this boulder, it's like a 4-foot drop, how am I gonna get down there? My groomsmen just picked up my mom and carried her. And when we got to parts that were so steep that even my groomsmen couldn't carry my mom anymore, my mom said, you know what? I'm just gonna sit on my rear and slide down 100 feet of this trail. And my groomsmen said, that's a great idea. And they did it right along with her. In that moment, my mom did what she was always best at doing, which is gathering people together in celebration, but she didn't do it with fancy clothes or fancy shoes or getting people the right food or drink. She did it by being honest about who she was, knowing her own limitations, but insisting on being present with us anyway. And my friends didn't need me to tell them to take care of my mom. My friends know I love my mom, and they love me. And that love compelled them out of the goodness of their hearts and the friendship that we share to want to help my mom. Honestly, the best part of that hike wasn't seeing the beauty of creation. It was seeing my friends and my groomsmen bonding with my mom, and so that when we got to the wedding that evening, they all danced together in celebration. Now, when Peter goes to Cornelius and tells them, Jews have nothing in common with Gentiles. He then continues, and Peter says, but you know what? I showed up here today because I had a curious vision right before you all showed up my door. I had a vision in which God said to me, what I have declared clean, you shall not declare unclean. Three times God said this to Peter. And Peter had to say, you know what? I couldn't help but think maybe God was talking about you. And as Peter said that, what we hear today is that the Holy Spirit descended upon these Gentiles. The Holy Spirit descended upon them so that they started praising God and speaking in tongues, just like the apostles did on the day of Pentecost. And it said that the uncircumcised, which are the Jewish folks, were amazed that the Holy Spirit could fall even on the Gentiles. Sometimes the Spirit moves in circles wider than we can imagine. Sometimes the Holy Spirit moves faster than our theology has had time to catch up to. We are so used to living in a world that tells us we are only loved based on what we can and can't do for other people that we assume it is the same with God, and that we have to figure out who can and cannot be friends with God, who can and cannot do the work that God calls them to do. But the truth is, Jesus isn't setting up a litmus test for who gets to be a friend. Jesus isn't setting up qualifications for his love. Jesus has already given his whole life to loving us. Jesus tells the disciples this right as he is about to go to the cross, literally to lay down his life for them and die. And he is explaining to them how they can continue to know his love after his death. You see, what Jesus is saying is, if you want to be where my love is, do the things that I do. If you want to know the joy that I have, do the things that I have done with you who are my friends. I have one more picture of my mom I want to share. This is us after we've just descended the steepest part of the hike. And you'll notice my mom is there in the lower left-hand corner looking very stylish with her shades. She's wearing her Run for Food shirt. And they're all smiling. And I love this picture not just because it's a collection of some of my most favorite people in the world, but because my whole life, my mom has loved me as a mother. Right? Jesus says, you didn't choose me, but I chose you. My mom has chosen me from before I was born. She has laid down her life time and time again for me as a mother does. She has taught me commandments about how I should live in this world, and I am grateful for all those things. But I love this picture because in this picture, my mom showed up to discover the love that I have and to discover the joy that I share with my friends. She showed up to abide with me. In this picture, I have a collection of my closest friends, among whom one is my mother. Jesus lays down his life for us. He gives everything for us. And so we are called to obey his commandments, not to earn his love, but to learn where his love resides, so that when we want to know the love of Christ, when we want to experience the presence of Christ's love, we can go where he told us we would find it, which is in loving others as he has loved us. It is there that we discover the joy that he shares with his friends, even if sometimes those friends have to carry us along the way. Amen.